It is so very good to see everybody who is here this evening. And we do have a few visitors. You are our most welcome and our most honored guest. It is always our hope and always our desire to make those of you that are visiting to feel so welcome you'll want to come back and worship God together with us and to study with us from the Word of God. And the sermon I'm delivering this evening is the result of a study that I did this past week on the subject of Redeemer and redemption. Before I get into that sermon, though, I just want to talk for a moment about things that I can understand from just my existence. The first thing I can actually understand, no question whatsoever, I'm here. I am alive. I had one person question that years ago, but he did not convince me. I do exist, and I'm alive. And the second thing I absolutely understand from my existence so far in this life is death is real. I've attended too many funerals of too many people who are near and dear to me. And so I'm here and death is real. Now, as a result of those two realities that are unquestionable, arise questions. Where I come from? What am I? Why do people die? Is there anything beyond death? Those are questions that arise from the two indisputable realities. We exist, we're going to die. Death is all around us. What is death? Where did it come from? Why do we die? Is there anything after it? What am I? Where did it come from? All those arise from the two indisputable realities. Through my studies, I have come to believe that there is a creator. That there is a God who created us, the planet we live on, our solar system, our entire universe. I do not believe it arose by chance. And through my studies, I have come to believe that what we call the Bible is revelation from that creator. And this revelation from God, our creator, is the truth about what we are, where we came from, why there is death, and what is beyond death. It is the truth about myself and all of us and our world. And through this scripture, I have come to understand who Jesus is. Now that I've laid out the introduction, we need to go to a verse over in Ezekiel chapter 18. Because it is here in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, that explains in a very simple way why we die. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. The reason there is death in the world is because man sinned. And death entered the world because Adam and Eve actually committed sin. And then death spread upon all men because we have all sinned. But the reason Adam and Eve sinned is because there was an individual who does exist, who is real. He is not mythological. He is not made up. He's real. We call him Satan. He is the individual who tempted Eve and Adam to sin. And so the soul that sins, that individual is going to die. Here I understand, though, that there's something other than just physical death. As I study the scriptures that I believe to be the truth, they tell me something about myself and every human being. We are created in the image of God. There is a part of us that we cannot see. You can do an MRI, you can do a CAT scan, but you're not going to find your soul. There is a soul within each and every one of us. And that soul is eternal. Our spirit continues to exist even when we die physically and our bodies return to the dust. Our spirit continues to exist. And so the soul, notice that word soul, who sins shall die. It's not just physical death. It is also spiritual death. physical death is a separation of the body from the spirit. Spiritual death is a separation of the soul from God, to where it separates us from God. And if we die with that sin intact, continually being separated from God, we will be forever separated from God. There is existence beyond death. That is what the Bible tells us. It explains where death came from. It explains judgment in the future. It also explains spiritual death, how the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. There's going to come a time in the future when all mankind is going to stand before God in judgment. And if the wickedness has not been dealt with, our soul will for all eternity be spiritually dead, separated from God. Now, all of that has to be absolutely understood for the sermon this evening to make any sense whatsoever. So again, that's why I started with the first two indisputable reality. I exist and I'm going to die. And I want to understand, what am I, where did I come from, where is death, what's beyond death? All the answers are in what I believe to be the truth, the Word of God. Now that being said, let's go to Revelation 12 and 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now death and salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. This is after the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of the Christ. But what I want you to see here that I've underlined in yellow for you is talking about Satan being the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night. You need to understand this. Satan wants you to be with him in hell for all eternity, with no God and him being your God for all eternity. That's what he wants. He wants you. He understands spiritual souls and how valuable they are. And he desires your soul. He's accusing you before God, night and day. What is he accusing you about? You ever thought about what's he accusing? He's accusing us about our sin. He is accusing us about our sin and our deserving to be dead and to be his. That we belong to him because of our sin. I want to show you some prophecies here in scriptures that you may not be familiar with. Lamentations 3:58. O Lord, you have pleaded the case for my soul. You have redeemed my life. You see, we've shown you here where Satan is the accuser, the adversary, accusing God about us. But what is our Lord? He's our advocate. He's pleading our case. And he's pleading our case for our soul. And he is going to be the one who is going to redeem our life. Now, this is the first time we see the word redeem here in the sermon. So we need to talk about the concept of redeeming. If you do a word study on this, going back to the Old Testament, you're going to find it used in the very beginning in relationship to buying back land. To where land that you were given in your allotment as children of Israel, that if you got upon tough times and you had to sell your land in order to survive, you could redeem your land. You could buy it back. That is basically the concept of redemption, is there's a price that has to be paid in order to get it back. And so you're going to be seeing this particular concept used in relationship to us. That there has to be a redemption. A price has to be paid to get you back. Because you belong to Satan when you sin. Jeremiah again, 15:21. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked. I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. Continuing in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 11. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than him. Now we're going to see another word here. Notice we've already seen redeemed up there. Now we've got another word, ransomed. Now that's a word you're probably familiar with and you've heard it used in connection to people being kidnapped. Where someone steals one of your children. Or steals your husband, or steals your wife, or steals somebody that you love, and they've got them, and they're threatening, I'm going to harm them. They're in my control now, and I'm not going to give them back to you unless you pay the ransom. You understand that word, don't you? A ransom is a price that has to be paid so the person will not be harmed. Psalm 55, verse 18. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. Then in Jeremiah again, chapter 5, 15, 6, 21, I just want to put all these together real quickly. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked. I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Now, I want you to notice something here. When he talks about redeemed and ransomed, you're always going to be seeing from. From the hand of the wicked. From the grip of the terrible. From the hand of one stronger than he. For the battle was against me. Let's go back to that. From the battle that was against me. Okay, you need to understand the concept of being redeemed. We're being redeemed from someone who's wicked, from someone who's terrible, from someone that's stronger than us, and that's the one the battle's against. The people of Israel made the mistake when Jesus came of thinking he was coming to redeem them from the Romans. Mistake. They were thinking small. They were thinking the enemy was the Roman Empire. Jesus did not come to free the Israelis and the Jews from the grip of the Roman Empire. He came to defeat the enemy who is wicked, who is terrible, who is stronger than us, and who has got a battle against us, and that is Satan. Satan is the enemy. Satan is the one that's wicked and terrible and who's stronger than us and has us in his grasp. Now going to Psalms 130, verse 8. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now we're understanding what it is the redemption is from and for. It's their iniquities, their sins. He says it again in Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Now notice this, the very next phrase, return to me, for I have redeemed you. What was it that was separating them from God? Their transgressions, their sins. And God was going to blot out the transgressions and their sins. And when they were blotted out, then they can be reconciled and returned to God. Because notice this, he has redeemed them. There was no way that they could pay the price for sin. It was going to have to be God. Isaiah 53 now. You can't talk about redemption without going to Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. There's a big word in the Bible used to describe this. It's called propitiation. Propitiation is the idea that we are guilty. We have sinned, and we deserve death. We deserve the punishment. However, here is an individual who has agreed to take our punishment for us. I want you to see here again, all of these are for our iniquities, so that we can be healed. Because of our transgressions, he was wounded, he was bruised, he received stripes. Everything coming upon this individual is because of what we've done. Going over to chapter 53 again, verses 5 through 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. This is describing again, all of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all gone our own way. But look at what he says. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Again, that is propitiation. Going to Isaiah 53 verse 8 now. For he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. What all these prophecies are about the Christ in his propitiation for us is our redemption of the price being paid so that our sins that we have committed would not be held against us and we could be forgiven. Continuing John Isaiah 53 and verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Now look at this underlined and put in yellow. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. This is a prophecy about the price being paid. His soul was going to be the offering for the sins of mankind. Going now back to Psalms 49, verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Continuing over in Hosea 13 and 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plague. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. Again, notice this, I already told you, when you see the word ransom and redeem, you're always going to see from. What were the two realities? Death is one of them and life is the other. I exist, I'm going to die. Here, though, we learn something about death itself. God was going to redeem, look at that again, our soul. You remember the soul that sins shall die? The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. The soul is being redeemed here from the power of the grave. And again, he is going to ransom them from the power of the grave. Notice that phrase twice. The power of the grave. Now just stop for a moment and think, folks. Do you know somebody out there, now don't go to the Bible. Do you know somebody out there that can get the dead to come back? How about it? No. And in the movies, it's make-believe. There is no one out there who has the power or the know-how to get people to come back from the dead. When they die, they're dead, they're gone, and they're not coming back until the Lord raises them. These two prophecies are dealing with the coming of the resurrection in the future. But again, notice this. It talks about the power of the grave. The power of the grave is you're dead. It's got you. You're not getting out. There's no way on your own you can get out. And again, notice the terms used, ransom, redeem. Again, when you hear the word ransom, think of it in this regard. Death has got you. You belong to death because of your sins. And you're not getting away from death. And death is not letting you go and letting go of you at all. Unless the ransom is paid. Unless the price is paid and you are redeemed and paid for. Now then, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers. Let's stop right there. The first part of this verse in verse 18 is telling us what we were not redeemed with. Because whenever you think about ransoms that you hear here on this planet and someone has kidnapped a person and they say, give us this much money and we'll let the person go. All right. Now then. You've got to understand this. You're under the power of Satan, sin, and death because of our sin. And now a ransom has got to be paid. So you start making offers. Okay, for this person, I'll give $1 trillion. No. $20 trillion. No. All the gold, all the silver in the entire earth and everything on it. No. You do realize that, don't you? If a man were to gain the whole world and everything on it, what would he give in exchange for his soul? The answer is, you don't have enough. Satan's not going to let your soul go for this planet and everything on it. It took something more valuable. What we were redeemed with, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It took an individual who had not sinned at all, who was absolutely blameless and sinless, giving himself as a living sacrifice in my place, so that my sins that I am owned by, controlled by, and caused to die from, so I could be redeemed, purchased, ransomed. Look at this again, Revelation 5 and 9. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Yes. Jesus at the right hand of God, he is worthy of all honor, praise, and glory because he is our Savior, because he was slain. Everything he went through, his beating, his scourging, his being nailed to the cross, that was the price. He was slain. He has redeemed us to God. He has purchased us from Satan. He has redeemed us from Satan, sin, and death. Look at this again in Acts 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Every one of you who are Christians, who are saved, you've been purchased. You have been bought. You have been redeemed. You have been ransomed. The ransom was paid. Look at this again. Galatians 3 and 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You remember what we read earlier? The soul that sins shall die. That's the curse of the law. When we sin, we are dead. Physically, spiritually, dead. Christ redeemed us because it's even written in the law, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Titus 2, 13 through 14. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. What I want you to see here again is that he redeemed us from every lawless deed. That's our sins. That is why Satan had control over us. That is why we were dead spiritually. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We've each turned to our own way and gone our own way into sin. He redeemed us from every lawless deed. Now in Hebrews chapter 2, 14 through 15. Inasmuch then as the children partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Notice right there, who's the one that's got the power of death? The devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's us. We were in bondage to Satan, sin, and death. And for us to be freed from Satan, sin, and death, Jesus had to die for our sins, be buried, and rise from the dead, conquering death and the one who had the power over death, that being Satan. And now he has freed us. We are no longer in bondage to Satan. We are no longer under the power of Satan or sin or death. The price was paid. Matthew 20, verse 28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself, look at this, a ransom for many. Again, over in 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You remember the term ransom? Someone has you under their power and their control, and their intention is to harm you. That is where we all were. We were under the power of Satan and the control of Satan with his intention to take us to hell with him for eternity. And folks, if that's not harm, there's no harm at all in the world. It's the greatest harm against a human being to go to hell with Satan for all eternity. And so a ransom had to be paid to Satan to get us out of it. What was the ransom? The life of the Son of God. That is what it took to pay the ransom for us. That is what it took to redeem you and I. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. There's a danger sometimes about not understanding spiritual reality. I know I'm alive physically. I know I'm going to die physically. Got that. Understand it. But whenever you tell me about there being a soul within me, can't see it. Why do I believe it's there? Because I believe the Bible is the truth. I believe it's telling me the truth about what I am. And then you're telling me about spiritual death? I've never seen that. I don't comprehend that. You're telling me about Satan, a being that exists who desires to destroy me spiritually? I've never seen him. Why do you expect me to believe all this? All right, fair question. I believe it because I believe the Bible is the truth. And I don't believe the Bible is truth because I'm gullible. I've spent my life examining it and studying it. I'm thoroughly convinced it is from the Creator. And when I realize it's from the Creator, I believe it's telling me the truth about what I am, why we die, what's beyond death. And it tells me the truth about my soul. And it tells me the truth about a being who hates me, who is terrible, who has mankind in his power and grasp, and desires for them to die in sin. But it tells me the wonderful love of our God, who understood before he ever even created us what it was going to take to make it to where we would not be forever separated from him because of our sins. And that was going to be the death of his Son on the cross. That there was going to have to be a ransom paid, a price to redeem us from law and Satan and sin and death. And now the price is paid. That's the good news of Christianity. Satan does not have to have power over you anymore. You can break free from Satan's power to where you're no longer in his reign, his rule, his control, to where he's got you and you're his. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. That is from the power of Satan, folks. Whenever you obey the gospel, you are conveyed over into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You remember the kingdom of the Son of his love is the church that he purchased with his own blood. Jeremiah 15, 21, going back to it, I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grip of the terrible. That's exactly what he has done. Now then, we'll close the sermon by going over to one text here in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. I have tried to explain to you what I believe to be spiritual reality about God, Satan, spiritual death, sin, the resurrection, eternal life. I believe all of that I've not seen because I believe the scriptures are telling me the truth. And so when we go to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, I want you to notice how the verse begins. Or do you not know? I'm going to read that now with the Mississippi translation. Don't you know? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? All right, stop right now. Those of us who are Christians, do you understand this? Don't you know you are not your own? You don't belong to you. You were bought at a price. A price was used to purchase you and redeem you and pay a ransom for you. That price was the blood of the Christ. Before we go any further, I want to make an obvious point here. We understand the value of something by the price tag on it, don't we? If someone gives you a gift and the price tag is 20 cents, you'll probably say, it's the thought that counts. And it doesn't. But, you know, if it's your kid and it's 15 cents, it's great, okay? It is the thought that counts. I'm just joking. But if someone gives you a gift and it's $1 million price tag, wow, you paid that much? Okay, we understand that, don't we? The value according to the price tag. Now, I'm telling you that because you got to understand how valuable you are all by yourself. You alone with no one else, nothing else. You are more valuable than the planet and everything on it. Understand that, folks. Understand the great treasure you are. It took the most precious thing in the universe to redeem you. Yes, we were bought at a price, and that price was the blood of the Son of God. You are valuable. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to God. We could not redeem ourselves. We could not ransom ourselves. There was no way from our power, our intellect, our ingenuity that we could overcome Satan and his power, overcome sin and its power, and overcome death and its power. There was no way out from our efforts. God did it for us. God paid the price. God redeemed us from Satan. He ransomed us from Satan. He redeemed us from sin. He ransomed us from sin, our sins. He redeemed us from death and ransomed us from death. Yes, we're still going to die physically, but we're no longer dead spiritually, to where when we do die physically in the future, we are going to rise from the dead itself, and we are going to go and be with our God Almighty in heaven for all eternity, because we are His church. We are the kingdom of the Son of His love. We are the redeemed, the ones He purchased. And now that we realize and understand what we are redeemed, ransomed individuals by the blood of the Christ, let's glorify our God and live according to His desire to honor Him in our body and in our spirit, which belong to Him. We are bought with a price. We do not belong to ourselves. So glorify our God in your body and in your spirit. Thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this evening who's not in Christ yet, what you waiting for? Mississippi talk. What are you waiting for? Don't you understand? Don't you know? God loves you. God gave his son to die for you. You don't have to be under the power of Satan or sin or death anymore. The price was paid. God loves you so much he paid the price. Now then, to become part of his church, part of his kingdom, you need to come to understand who Jesus is. To the point to where you have your own faith, realizing he is the Christ, he is the Son of God. It's real, it's true. He did die for my sins so I could be forgiven. He did rise from the dead, conquering death, giving us a hope of the future resurrection. Our belief and our living hope of the resurrection is because we believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. Did we see it? No. It's all by faith, folks. Our relationship with God is all by faith. If you are to the point of having this faith and yet you haven't become a Christian yet, come forward and confess your faith. Make the commitment of repentance, that is to follow the word of God by faith in your life, and we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're in Christ already and there's sin between you and your God, it doesn't have to stay there. The blood of the Christ is there. Recognize where you are spiritually and deal with it, going straight into it, confessing the sin to God and praying for forgiveness of it and getting up, turning from it, and getting back into the race. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you and do the best we can to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know when we stand and sing the song that has been selected.